My name is Paula Meehan and I'm the current Ireland Professor of Poetry for the years 2013 to 2016, the commemorative years. I'm going to read a poem that I came across just today. I was sitting in Phibsborough in the basin there. I'd just been into the matter and I came down, I sat down and opened the book at random and I came across one of his later poems. I've been living with W.B. Yeats since I was a girl, really, in Miss Shannon's class in the Central Model Girls' School in Gardiner Street, where she beat out the poems with her stick. And we studied The Cat and the Moon. That was the first poem I ever came across, and it was pure magic, enchantment. We studied Easter 1916 when I was 11 years of age. It made me want to go out and die for Ireland. That and the Clive Sullis, the hagiographies of the martyred dead. Then I came across W.B. Yeats in secondary school. I mean, he was on the curriculum, though we read widely around the curriculum, and he was certainly a big name amongst the Tyro poets of Finglas in the 70s. The musicians, we loved the lyric moment, his lyric presence. So he was a fantastic poet for adolescence. I mean, the gloomier the better, the unrequited love, Maud gone. So we were living it out on a daily basis every day as teenagers. So it seemed very much to the moment. I did write a poem when I was a teenager called The Apprentice, in which I challenged my infatuation, if you like, with Yeats. I remember a line, I walked on new laid roads conjuring a hazelwood, because I mean, grown up in Finglas and, you know, living the somewhat aristocratic or aspiring aristocratic vision of W.B.A., it seemed like a paradox. And yet his lyric was so strong. I mean, it had a huge influence on the musicians of the time and certainly on the poets. But this poem I came across this morning, and it just grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. I'd never come across it before. It's from 1938, the year before he died. It's published in his last poems. And it seems to me it's a bit like a kind of an Elvis Presley foreshadowing. I ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's called Hound Voice. Because we love bare hills and stunted trees, and we're the last to choose the settled ground, its boredom of the desk or of the spade. Because so many years companioned by a hound our voices carry, and though slumber-bound, some few half-wake and half-renew their choice, give tongue, proclaim their hidden name, Hound Voice. The women that I picked spoke sweet and low and yet gave tongue. Hound voices were they all. We picked each other from afar and knew what hour of terror comes to test the soul, and in that terror's name obeyed the call and understood what none have understood, those images that waken in the blood. Someday we shall get up before the dawn and find our ancient hounds before the door, and wide awake know that the hunt is on, stumbling upon the blood-dark track once more, then stumbling to the kill beside the shore, then cleaning out and bandaging of wounds and chance of victory amid the encircling hounds. So it just grabbed me, as I said, by the scruff of the neck today, the way you'd grab a miscreant pup. And it's just so full of passion there towards the end of his life, and a sense of being both modern and aboriginal, because the hounds of war were snapping at his heels. Fascism was about to just absolutely obliterate all that. It seemed like it would obliterate forever all that we cherished as civilization on the European continent. So it took me, this poem, it took me away. As I say, I've just come to it. I can't say it's a favourite. It just sandbagged me this morning.